The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Croner from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, this is the last recording for March, and March is Women's Month, where we honor women who have done very well in the past and are currently doing very well, and their activities for this, you know, for the United States, for the world, for everything. So we have a list from Reader's Digest of famous female first, trailblazing women who made history. Celebrate the history-making women who have blazed the trail towards equality. Women who broke barriers. It's hard to imagine a time when women couldn't be doctors, pilots, business owners, registered voters, or even marathon runners. But those achievements are relatively recent and were hard won by women who faced a significant amount of opposition from a patriarchal society designed to work against them. Often, the first women to break certain barriers weren't even recognized for their groundbreaking work because men took credit for it. Their contributions were willfully ignored, or they simply went unnoticed and therefore were never recorded. This was especially true for women of color as well as those without financial means. Despite facing adversity, these important women in history made it clear that their place was wherever they wanted to be, and that inspiring sentiment paved the way for all of us today. From the first female politicians to the first woman to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sorry about that, which didn't happen until 1987, to the recent confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first black female Supreme Court justice, these are women who broke the proverbial glass ceiling and wouldn't take no for an answer. While society still doesn't treat women as equals to men in some pretty significant ways, these pioneer women remind us that we need to fight for what we want and what we desire or deserve. Of course, I'm a man reading this, but even so. Ketanji Brown Jackson, first black woman justice of the Supreme Court. On June 30, 2022, Ketanji Brown Jackson became the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court. She replaced Stephen Breyer, who had been on the court for 28 years. Jackson, who has served as a federal judge and a public defender, among other things, joined the court during a time of intense controversy, less than a week after the 6-3 conservative majority voted to overturn Roe versus Wade. Vigdis Vinbogadatta, first democratically elected woman president. Though it's becoming increasingly common for women to be elected president of a country, someone had to be the first. That accolade goes to Iceland Vigdis Vinbogadatter, who on June 29, 1980, became the first democratically elected female president of any country. After serving for 16 years, she also became the longest-serving elected female head of state. Although Iceland has elected two female prime ministers since, Vinbogadatter remains the only woman to have been president of the country. Of course, we're still waiting for the first woman to become president of the United States. Madam C.J. Walker, first female self-made millionaire in America. This is an African-American woman. Born Sarah Breedlove in 1867 to parents who had been enslaved, this groundbreaking black entrepreneur created a line of hair care products formulated for black women dealing with hair loss. In 1906, she married Charles J. Walker and began referring to herself professionally as Madam C.J. Walker. In addition to creating hair products, she established distribution centers to ensure that her 3,000 door-to-door salespeople, most of whom were black women, had plenty to sell, and she also founded a cosmetology school to train them. Following her financial success, Walker became a well-known philanthropist, funding scholarships for women at Tuskegee Institute and donating to social services for orphans, the elderly, and migrants. Stephanie Frafford, first female referee of a men's World Cup match. On December 1st, 2022, Stephanie Frappard of France became the first woman to referee a men's World Cup game. She's been joined by two other women, assistants Nuza Black of Brazil and Karen Diaz Medina of Mexico, in the history-making match in Qatar, which pitted Germany against Costa Rica. Frappard is no stranger to first. In 2019, she was also the first woman to officiate a handful of other major men's soccer games, including a League One and UEFA Championship League match. Madeleine Albright, first female U.S. Secretary of State. In 1997, President Bill Clinton appointed Madeleine K. Albright the 64th Secretary of State of the United States. The appointment made her the highest-ranking woman in the federal government history. In 2004, Condoleezza Rice became the second woman, as well as the first black woman, to hold the job. 5 years later, Hillary Rodham Clinton became the nation's third female Secretary of State. For a personal look at these women and their accomplishments, read their fascinating autobiographies. Sandra Douglas, first black female president in NFL history. In July 2022, the Las Vegas Raiders hired attorney Sandra Douglas Morgan to be the team's president, making her the first black woman to hold that title for an NFL franchise. Prior to her current role, Morgan was also the first person of color to serve as chair for the Nevada Gaming Control Board and the first black city attorney in Nevada. Wally Funk, and that's a female name, believe it or not, and the Flats, first women to go through astronaut testing. In 1961, 22-year-old Mary Wallace Wally Funk became one of the first women to undergo the physical and psychological testing NASA required to become an astronaut. Funk was one of 13 fellow lady astronaut trainees, Flats, who were also unofficially known as the Mercury 13, a prod to Project Mercury, NASA's first human spaceflight program. Despite the fact that Funk and other women performed better than any of the men of Project Mercury, including John Glenn, President Lyndon B. Johnson ended the program in 1962, preparing the optics of sending a man to space at the height of the Cold War. Although Funk did not become the first woman in space, she did briefly become the oldest person to travel in space on July 20, 2021, at the age of 82, until William Shatner, 90, earned the title in October 2021. Aretha Franklin, first female Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Here's a bit of pop culture trivia. In 1987, Aretha Franklin became the first woman ever to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The late Queen of Soul may be the most famous for her working of Otis Redding's Respect, which the Hall of Fame views as Franklin's assertion of selfhood in the women's movement. Interesting aside, on Acorn TV, there's a French program called Candace Renoir, and it's about a female detective, and the theme song for that is Respect. Deb Haaland, most indigenous person to serve in a cabinet position. Deb Haaland, and it's H-A-A-L-A-N-D, made history in March 2021 when she confirmed as the Secretary of the Interior of the United States, the first indigenous person of any gender to hold a cabinet position. A member of the Pueblo of Laguna, Haaland has spent much of her career focused on environmental justice and climate change. Indra Nooyi, first woman of color to head a Fortune 500 company. When Indra Nooyi was named CEO of PepsiCo in 2006, she became the first woman of color and the first immigrant to helm a Fortune 500 company, a position she held for 12 years. Born in India in 1955, Nooyi earned her MBA in 1974 from the prestigious Indian Institute of Management, Calcutta, followed by a master's degree in public and private management in 1980 from Yale. She spent the next 14 years working as a corporate consultant before being offered positions at both PepsiCo and General Electric in 1994. Nooyi chose PepsiCo, gradually working her way up through the company's ranks until her historic appointment as CEO in 2006. Oprah Winfrey, first woman to own and produce her own talk show. Oprah Winfrey wasn't comfortable in her role as a TV news anchorman, and her empathy with her interviewees earned her criticism rather than accolades from her bosses. But this ironic failure led to her being hired as the host of a morning talk show in Chicago in 1984. Within a year, the network renamed it The Oprah Winfrey Show. And in 1986, the show entered the national syndication and almost immediately became the highest-rated talk show in television history. The same year, Winfrey became the first black woman in the American entertainment industry to establish and own her own production company, Harpo Studios. In 1988, Harpo acquired the Oprah Winfrey Show, making Winfrey the first woman to own and produce her own talk show. Sarah Josephine Baker, first director of a child health bureau in the United States. Although Sarah Josephine Baker, M.D., Doctor of Philosophy, is probably best known today for her work in containing a 1907 typhoid outbreak in New York City, she made history a year later when she was appointed the first director of the city's new Bureau of Child Hygiene, the first department of its kind in the United States. When Baker retired in 1923, New York City had the lowest infant mortality rate of any major American city. In the mid-30s, she moved to New Jersey, where she shared a house with Ida Wiley, Adolescence and her life partner, and another woman physician named Louise Purse. Jean Kirkpatrick, first female U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Jean Kirkpatrick first served as President Ronald Reagan's foreign policy advisor during his 1980 presidential campaign. A year later, Reagan appointed her to be the U.S. permanent representative to the United Nations, making her the first woman to hold that position. But she wasn't the first American woman to make diplomatic history. In 1949, Helen Eugenie Moore Anderson became the first American woman to serve as the chief for a mission abroad with the title of ambassador at the appointment of Harry S. Truman. Anderson continued her diplomatic career throughout the 1950s and 1960s, and in 1965, she was appointed an ambassador to the U.S. delegation to the United Nations, becoming the first woman to sit on the Security Council. Wilma Mankiller, first woman elected as chief of a major indigenous tribe. Born in Tahlequah, Oklahoma in 1945, Wilma Pearl Mankiller grew up as a member of the Cherokee Nation. Her family was relocated to San Francisco in 1957 as part of a federal program to urbanize indigenous Americans. But she returned to her home state in 1974, where she immediately got to work improving rural services for her community, with initiatives in housing, health care, and education. Mankiller continued to take on public service roles, and in 1985 she was elected chief of the Cherokee, the second largest indigenous nation in the United States. She was re-elected in 1991 and served as principal chief until 1995. 3 years later, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Margaret Thatcher, first female prime minister of the United Kingdom. The British stateswoman served as the first female prime minister of the United Kingdom and also served a distinction as the longest-serving British prime minister of the 20th century. And this was after she bet against herself and every other woman in 1969, predicting that no woman would become prime minister or foreign secretary during her own lifetime. Her prediction obviously missed the mark, and she's in good company. Valentina Jereshkova, Sally Ride, Mae Jemison, Jessica Watkins, and Eileen Collins, first female astronauts. Russia's Valentina Tereshkova became the first woman in space in 1963, when she spent 3 days orbiting the Earth 48 times in a space capsule. In 1983, America sent its first woman into space, Sally Ride, who had joined NASA only 5 years earlier. And although she didn't officially come out during her lifetime, in a statement prepared prior to her death, Ride confirmed that she was gay, making her the first acknowledged LGBTQ plus astronaut. Wow, I'm sorry, my tongue is not functioning very well today. 9 years later, American doctor and engineer Mae Jemison made history as the first black woman in space, as one of 7 crew members aboard the space shuttle Endeavour. After that, it was another 3 decades before NASA astronaut Jessica Watkins became the first black woman in space to be on an International Space Station crew. Another important first occurred on February 3, 1995, when Eileen Collins became the first woman to pilot a space shuttle. Collins made history again on July 23, 1999, when she became the first woman to command a space shuttle mission. Serena Williams, first and only tennis player to accomplish a career gold slam in singles and doubles. Serena Williams, who announced her plans to retire from tennis in August 2022, spent the last 3 decades making history. This includes being the first and only professional tennis player of any gender to accomplish a career golden grand slam in both singles and doubles. If you're unfamiliar with tennis, a golden slam means that a player has won each of the 4 Grand Slam tournaments, the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open, and an Olympic gold medal. Williams completed her singles golden slam on August 4, 2012, when she won her first singles gold medal at the London Olympics. A decade earlier, Williams and her sister Venus Williams completed their doubles golden slam in the 2001 Australian Open, a year after winning Wimbledon and gold medals at the 2000 Sydney Olympics. Sally Priestland, first female rabbi in the United States. Growing up in Cleveland in the 1950s and 1960s, Sally Priestland didn't see any other women serving as rabbis. But this wasn't limited to the area at the time. It was virtually unheard of for a female to occupy leadership roles in any religion. Nevertheless, Priestland enrolled in rabbinical school after graduating from the University of Cincinnati in 1968 and was fully ordained on June 3, 1972. Throughout her career, she spoke out for equality in the Jewish religion. Golda Meir, first female prime minister in the Middle East. In 1969, Golda Meir became the fourth prime minister of Israel and the first woman to hold the title. Born in 1898 in Kiev, Ukraine, Golda Mabovich and her family immigrated to Wisconsin in 1905 and became part of a Zionist group that called for the establishment of a Jewish homeland in Palestine. After obtaining her teaching certification in 1917 and marrying Morris Meyerson, she officially changed her name from Meyerson to Meyer in 1956. She, along with her husband, joined a collective settlement in Palestine in 1921, then moved to Jerusalem in 1924. For nearly three decades prior to her appointment as prime minister, Meyer worked for the Israeli government in various roles. Sandra Day O'Connor, first female Supreme Court justice. In 1981, Sandra Day O'Connor was nominated by President Ronald Reagan to serve as Supreme Court justice, making a name for herself not only as the first female justice, but also as one of SCOTUS's most thoughtful centrists. But long before Justice O'Connor, another woman was making judicial history. In 1879, Belva Lockwood became the first woman admitted to the Supreme Court bar. A year later, she became the first woman to argue a case before the country's highest court. Danica Patrick and Janet Guthrie, first female Indy contender and winner. Janet Guthrie, an aerospace engineer who was training to be an astronaut, turned to car racing when she was cut from the space program for not having completed her Ph.D. In 1977, Guthrie became the first female Indy 500 contender. A few decades later, Danica Patrick entered the Indy car racing scene in 2005 and made her Indianapolis 500 debut a year later. In 2008, Patrick won the Indy Japan 300, which made her the first female winner in IndyCar racing history. Fu Wa, first recorded female military leader. Though it's impossible to know with certainty who was actually the very first woman in the world to lead a military, Fu Wa is a strong contender. Not only was she the first female military general on record in China's history, having as many as 13,000 troops under her command, but during her lifetime in the 12th century B.C., Fu Wa was also a high priestess and landowner. How do we know so much about her accomplishments? When her tomb was discovered in 1976, archaeologists found that it contained a large stash of weapons, including several battle axes, as well as more than 700 jade objects, roughly 400 bronze objects, and evidence of 16 human sacrifices. Shirley Chisholm, first black female member of Congress. In 1968, Shirley Chisholm became the first black congresswoman representing her district in New York State. In the U.S. House of Representatives for seven terms, 1 year after her election in Congress, Chisholm became one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus. In 1972, she made history yet again when she became the first black and second woman to make a bid for the presidency, during which she survived three assassination attempts. In 2015, Chisholm was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Catherine Switzer, and Nina Kuciak, and Joan Benoit, first female major marathoners. In 1967, 20-year-old Catherine Switzer became the first woman to run in the Boston Marathon, even though race officials had tried to stop her. Nina Kuciak became the first woman to officially win the Boston Marathon in 1972. And in 1984, American Joan Benoit became the first winner of the Women's Olympic Marathon, finished 400 meters ahead of Norway's Greta Waitz. Antonio Novella, first woman to serve as U.S. Surgeon General. After training and practicing as a pediatric nephrologist, Antonio Novella, M.D., who was born and raised in Puerto Rico, decided to join the U.S. Public Health Service in 1979. She held a variety of roles throughout the 1980s, and then in 1990, President George H.W. Bush appointed her to the position of U.S. Surgeon General, making her both the first woman and the first person of color to fill the role. While Surgeon General, Novella continued her work involving AIDS, but largely focused on the health of women, children, and minorities. She stepped down from her position in 1993 after serving under two presidential administrators. Christina Elizabeth Fernandez de Kirchner, first female elected president of Argentina. I don't know why I said Arkansas. Sorry about that. Christina Elizabeth Fernandez de Kirchner was not only the second woman to serve as president of Argentina, she was also the first female president directly elected by the people. Her first term began in 2007. In 2011, she was reelected, making her the first woman to be reelected to the office as well. Her political approach has been given its own name, Kirchnerism. Junko Tabai, first woman to summit Everest. Junko Tabai stood just 5 feet tall and weighed under 92 pounds. But in 1975, she co-led a group of 15 women to the summit of Mount Everest, becoming the first female ever to reach the peak. She would eventually ascend the highest summit on every continent. And one of my favorite people, Betty White, first woman to win an Emmy for hosting a game show. In 2018, Betty White made it to the Guinness Book of World Records as the female entertainer with the longest television career, which at that time had spanned nearly 80 years. Although White died 3 years later at the age of 99, she still retains this record. This is hardly surprising, given that she'd been on television nearly as long as the medium has existed. She was among the first women on TV, appearing on several experimental broadcasts in the 1930s, and in the early 1950s, she became one of the first women to write, produce, and star in her own nationally syndicated TV sitcom, Life with Elizabeth. Over the years, she played beloved characters like Sue Ann Nevin on The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rose Nyland on The Golden Girls. But her big female first happened in 1983, when she became the first woman to win a Daytime Emmy Award for Outstanding Game Show Host for NBC's celebrity panel game show, Just Men. Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland, Astrid Gilberto, and Carole King, female Grammy first. At the very first Grammy Awards in 1958, Ella Fitzgerald, known as the First Lady of Song, was awarded two Grammys, making her the first woman to win two of the awards and the first black woman to win one at all. In 1962, Judy Garland made Grammy history of her own, becoming the first woman to win for Album of the Year, Judy at Carnegie Hall. Other female Grammy firsts include Astrid Gilberto, the first woman to Record of the Year in 1964 for The Girl from Ipanema, an honor she shared with Stan Getz. Carole King, the first woman to win Song of the Year and Record of the Year solo for It's Too Late in 1971. Benigna Zinzendorf, founder of the first boarding school for girls in colonial America. Back in 1742, at a time when girls were expected to marry young and spend their lives caring for their husbands and families, Henrietta Benigna Justine Zinzendorf von Watteville, who went by Benigna, founded the first boarding school dedicated to education of girls in the 13 colonies in Germantown, Pennsylvania. 2 months later, the school known as the Bethlehem Female Seminary moved roughly 70 miles north to Bethlehem, where in addition to teaching the household arts, a fancy word for home ec, reading, writing, and religion were also part of the curriculum. The school quickly earned a reputation for providing a high-caliber education to girls, counting the nieces of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson among its students. She may not be one of the most famous women in history, but Zinzendorf deserves more credit for her work. Frances Perkin, first female member of a presidential cabinet. In 1933, President Franklin Roosevelt appointed Frances Perkins, a sociologist and political reformer from New York, as the Secretary of Labor. Perkins held the position until 1945, making her the longest Secretary of Labor in U.S. history. During that time, she was a key figure in establishing the New Deal, eating right some of the legislation, including minimum wage laws. Perkins also chaired the President's Committee on Economic Security in 1934, which resulted in the Social Security Act of 1935, making her instrumental in creating the agency. Amelia Earhart and Jerry Mock, first women in cross-ocean aviation. We can't talk about famous women in history without mentioning Amelia Earhart, who is probably best known for her mysterious disappearance during an ill-fated around-the-world flight in 1937. A decade before Earhart's disappearance over the Pacific Ocean, however, she became the first woman ever to fly solo across the Atlantic in 1928, earning herself a ticker tape parade and even an editorship at Cosmopolitan. The first woman to successfully make a round-the-world flight, by the way, was Geraldine Jerry Mock, who flew a single-engine Cessna 180 around the world in 1964. Felisa Redcon de Gautier, first woman elected mayor of a major city in the Western Hemisphere. When Felicia Rincon de Gautier was elected mayor of San Juan in 1946, she not only became the first woman to lead the Puerto Rican capital, but also the first woman elected mayor of any major city in the Western Hemisphere. Gautier, affectionately known as Donna Felela in Puerto Rico, served as San Juan's mayor until 1968. During her time in office, she focused on street cleaning, hygiene, historic restoration, and social services for children in lower-income communities. Veronica Michelle Bachet Gerriay, first female president of Chile. First elected president of Chile in 2006, Veronica Michelle Bachelet Gerriay, publicly known as Michelle Bachelet, was the first woman in her country to hold office. Leaving office in 2010, she found she couldn't stay away for long. In 2013, she was re-elected president with more than 62% of the vote, making her not only the first female president of Chile, but also the first person since 1932 to win the presidency twice in contested elections. She has served as United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights since 2018. Gertrude Elliday, first woman to swim across the English Channel. On August 6, 1926, Gertrude Caroline Elliday became the first woman to swim across the English Channel and accomplished the feat with a time almost 2 hours shorter than the fastest man to complete the swim. While that earned her a world record, it was far from Elliday's first. Between 1929 and 1925, she set 29 U.S. and world records for swimming, as well as won a gold medal and two bronze medals in the 1924 Paris Olympics. Although she's not one of the most famous women in history, at the peak of her career, she was one of the best-known athletes in the world. Edith Wilson, first female secret president. Being married to President Woodrow Wilson not only made Edith Galt Wilson the first lady, it also made her the first woman known to have made executive decisions on behalf of the United States. This earned her the moniker Secret President. Edith's run as a stand-in chief executive began in 1919, when Woodrow suffered a stroke. For many months, the nation didn't know the president had fallen ill, but over time, people began to suspect Edith was in charge. Years later, the extent of Edith's political power was confirmed by historians. Edith Wharton, first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize. Another Edith became a first woman in 1921 when Edith Wharton became the first female winner of the Pulitzer Prize for her book The Age of Innocence, great movie too, a critique of upper-class society in the turn-of-the-century New York City. It's one of the books by female authors that belong on everyone's must-read list. It's a great movie too with Daniel Day-Lewis and Michelle Pfeiffer. Jean Barre, first woman to circumnavigate the globe. When a 26-year-old French woman named Jean Barre joined Louis de Bougainville round-the-world expedition in 1766, she did so as the assistant to the voyage botanist and as a man. At the time, French law forbid women from traveling on Navy ships, so Barrett spent much of the trip disguised as a man named Jean. When her crewmates discovered her true identity, they brutally attacked Barrett. She remained sequestered on board until 1768, when she disembarked in Mauritius. Barrett may not be known as well as some of the other important women in history, but in addition to making several valuable contributions to the field of botany, she became the first woman to circumnavigate the globe. Jeanette Rankin, first female member of Congress. 4 years before women secured the right to vote in the United States, Jeanette Rankin was elected to the House of Representatives as a representative from Montana. At the same time, she also became the first woman ever to be elected to a national office in the United States. She served two non-consecutive terms in the House, coinciding with World War I and World War II, and she has a sign on the side of her car that says, "No more war." Hillary Clinton and Victoria Woodhull, first female presidential nominees. In 2016, Helen Rodham Clinton became the former First Lady, Senator, and Secretary of State, was nominated by the Democratic Party as its presidential candidate, the first woman from a major party ever to achieve this feat. Although she did not become president, Clinton does hold the distinction of being the first woman to win the popular vote in an American presidential election. Clinton was not, however, the first woman to run for POTUS. That distinction goes to Victoria Woodhull, who ran unsuccessfully in 1872 as a member of the Equal Rights Party, and that's the only one reason Woodhull made history. She was also the first woman to own a brokerage firm on Wall Street, the first woman to start a weekly newspaper, and a prominent activist for women's rights and labor reform. Ramon de la Roche, first female licensed pilot. Although Ramon de la Roche, a French engineer, wasn't the first female aviator, she was the first woman to earn a pilot's license. She learned how to fly in 1909 upon the suggestion of Charles Voisin, an aviation pioneer who also served as her instructor. The following year, LaRoche was awarded a pilot's license, and she set a woman's altitude record of 15,700 feet 9 years later. That's very impressive. Marie Curie, first female Nobel Prize winner. Arguably the most famous female scientist of them all and one of the most important women in history, Marie Curie, born Maria Skłodowska in Warsaw in 1867, was a young revolutionary before she began her studies in physics and math at the Sorbonne in Paris. It was there she met her husband, Pierre Curie, a physics professor of 1903. The couple was awarded half the Nobel Prize for research on radiation led by Henri Becquerel. He got the other half. Curie earned her own Nobel Prize in 1911 in chemistry and remains the only woman to have won the Nobel Prize twice. Winifred Edgar Merrill, first American woman to earn a doctorate in mathematics. In 1886, Winifred Edgerton Merrill became the first woman to receive a degree from Columbia University, as well as the first American woman to earn a Ph.D. in mathematics anywhere in the United States. Much of her work was in the field of mathematical astronomy, and including computing the orbit of the comet of 1883. Arabella Mansfield and Ada Kepley, first female lawyers in the United States. In 1869, Arabella Mansfield became the first female lawyer in the United States when she was admitted to the Iowa State Bar Association after studying and apprenticing an alternative to passing a bar exam and attending law school. The first woman to graduate from law school was Ada Kepley, who graduated the following year from the school that would eventually become Northwestern University. Lucy Hobbs Taylor, first female dentist in the United States. After previously being denied admission, Lucy Beeman Hobbs enrolled in Ohio College of Dental Surgery in 1865 and graduated with a doctorate in dental surgery the following year. Hobbs then moved to Chicago, where she established a dental practice and married a Civil War veteran named James Myrtle Taylor. The couple later moved to Kansas, where Hobbs set up a new practice and campaigned for women's rights. Helen Taussig, first female president of the American Heart Association. Born in 1898, Helen Brooke Taussig graduated from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in 1927 and quickly emerged as a pioneer in pediatric cardiology. Taussig was also a learning leader in the movement to ban thalidomide, a drug for morning sickness that caused malformations in children's limbs when their mothers took it during pregnancy. Elizabeth Blackwell, first woman to graduate from medical school in the United States. As the story goes, Elizabeth Blackwell was admitted to the Geneva Medical College in western New York State because the all-male faculty voted her in, thinking it was all a hilarious joke. Of course, Blackwell was completely serious, and ultimately, the joke was on them. She received her medical degree in 1849, making her the first woman in the country to graduate from medical school. Ada Lovelace, first computer programmer. There can't be a discussion of important women in history without Ada Lovelace, who was not only the first female computer programmer, but also the first computer programmer of any gender. A brilliant mathematician born in England, Lovelace wrote many considered the world's first machine logarithm for an early computing machine. Her logarithm was published in an article in a British journal in 1843. Of course, computers have come a long way since then, and it's fascinating to look back and see what computers looked like the decade you were born. Sophia Blanchard, first woman to pilot a hot air balloon. Sophia Blanchard earned her aeronautical skills from her husband, who died of a heart attack beside Sophie while she was piloting a balloon. Tiny and nervous, according to Smithsonian, she nevertheless found flight to be a sensation incomparable and made her first solo balloon ascent in 1805. Unfortunately, Blanchard also became the first woman to die in an aviation accident when her balloon caught fire and crashed to the ground in 1819. Harriet Beecher Stowe, first American author of an international best-selling novel. Although she spent the first 21 years of her life in Connecticut, it was her time living in Cincinnati, specifically her involvement in anti-slavery movements, that inspired Harriet Beecher Stowe to write her 1852 runaway hit, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Though there's no strict definition of what constitutes an international bestseller, many consider Uncle Tom's Cabin to be the first international best-selling novel written by an American. But what we do know is that Stowe's most famous book was the best-selling novel and the second best-selling book of the 19th century after the Bible. Also interesting, this book was censored in many states around the time of its release, and today it has ended up on book banning lists for other reasons. Anne Smith Franklin, first female newspaper editor in America. You've heard of Ben Franklin, but how about his sister-in-law, Ann Smith Franklin, who was married to Ben's brother James? After James died in 1837, leaving Ann a widow with five kids, she took over as publisher of the Mercury, a Rhode Island newspaper that Ann had helped James to launch. She later printed an almanac series and went on to be inducted into the University of Rhode Island's Journalism Hall of Fame. Sacagawea, first and only woman to accompany Lewis and Clark. In 1805, Sacagawea, a member of the Shoshone tribe, became the first and only woman to accompany the Lewis and Clark expedition, exploring the West and seeking a route to the Pacific. Barely a teenager, and also a brand new mother, Sacagawea kept her baby strapped to her back as she acted as a Shoshone interpreter, brokered deals for supplies, and served as a skilled navigator. In fact, as she was there, there may have been difference between life and death for many on the expedition. Lydia Taft, the first woman to vote legally in America. In 1756, a century before women's suffrage became a movement, Lydia Chaplin Taft became the first woman to vote in America. Taft was the widow of an influential landowner in Uxbridge, Massachusetts, whose recent death was thwarting the town's plan to help finance the ongoing French and Indian War. So to get stuff done, she was asked to vote in her dead husband's place. Guess word of Taft's voting never reached President Grover Cleveland, who famously said that sensible women don't vote. Francesca Caccini, first known female opera composer. Italian Francesca Caccini was 38 years old when La Liberazione di Bergerio, the opera she composed, performed for the first time in Florence. The year was 1625, and Caccini was not only an accomplished composer, but also a lute player, a poet, and music teacher. On top of that, she was the highest-paid musician of any gender in the court of the 1620s. Elena Cornaro Piscopia, first woman to earn a doctorate. Born in Venice, Italy in 1646, Elena Cornaro Piscopia received an unusual comprehensive education thanks to a series of tutors. Although her parents wanted her to get married, Piscopia wasn't interested in that life, so at the age of 11 she joined a Benedictine monastery as an affiliated layperson. She went on to attend the University of Padua, where she was awarded her doctorate in philosophy in 1678. Mary Tudor, the first woman to rule England. Although Elizabeth I gets all the acclaim, it was her half-sister, Mary Tudor, the only child of King Henry VIII and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon, who was crowned the first Queen of England in 1553. This was after the death of Henry in 1547 and a short reign by Henry's the Third's ill-fated teenage son, Edward, who was Henry's child with the third wife, Jane Seymour. Known historically as Bloody Mary for her sometimes violent political acts, she died in 1558. A year later, Elizabeth began her historic rule, and there's a lot of jokes around that the reason a certain drink using vodka and tomato juice is called a Bloody Mary was because of her. Queen Anne, the first female ruler of Great Britain. Following the 1700 death of her brother-in-law, William III, Anne Stuart was crowned Queen of Lincoln. 5 years later, the Treaty of Union came into effect, merging the kingdoms of England and Scotland to form Great Britain, making Anne the first ruler of Great Britain, period. Merneith and Sobekaneferu, first female pharaohs. Around 2950, Merneith, the daughter of one pharaoh, wife of another, and mother of yet another, is believed to have ruled Egypt in her own right for some period of time. If that's accurate, it would make her not only the first female pharaoh, but also the first female monarch in recorded history. The first female pharaoh whose reign was confirmed by scientific evidence was Sobekaneferu, who ruled Egypt between 1806 and 1802 B.C., following the death of her brother, Amenemhat IV. Arlene Francis, first TV game show host. Born in 1907, Arlene Francis always wanted to be a serious actress. While live theater was her first love, it was her work on a soundstage that made history. Francis was a serious radio personality throughout the 1930s and 1940s. In 1943, she became the host of a new radio matchmaking game called Blind Date. The show moved from radio to television in 1945, making Francis the first woman to host a television game show. She hosted the TV version of Blind Date until 1952. And served as a panelist on What's My Line for 25 years. Barbara Streisand and Catherine Bigelow, film industry firsts. In 1984, Barbra Streisand became the first woman ever to win a Golden Globe Award for Best Director. The film was Yentl, in which Streisand also starred, playing a woman pretending to be a man. In 2010, Catherine Bigelow became the first woman ever to win an Oscar for Best Director. The film was The Hurt Locker. One of the other nominees was Bigelow's ex-husband, James Cameron, for Avatar. If you haven't seen these flicks, get to it. They're two of the best movies of all time. Julian Taymor and Cyndi Lauper, Theater World First. It wasn't until 1998 that a woman won a Tony Award for Best Director of a Musical. That was Julie Taymor, who won for The Lion King in 2013. Cyndi Lauper became the first woman to Tony Award solo for Best Original Score for Kinky Boots. Sylvia Rivera, first transgender person featured in the National Portrait Gallery. Born in the Bronx in 1951, Sylvia Rivera spent much of her life as an activist for LGBTQ+ rights. People of color, especially LGBTQ people of color, Rivera, along with her friend and fellow activist, Marsha P. Johnson, made history in 1971 when they established the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries, America's first youth shelter for trans youth. After several more decades of campaigning, Rivera died in 2002 from complications of liver cancer. 13 years later, she became the first transgender person to have their picture hung in the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. And that ends our March special on women. That was very interesting, though. There's a lot of fascinating stuff. Some of that stuff I'm pretty familiar with. Many of us who lived during the period of time are familiar with it. But some of that stuff is really fascinating. How much sugar is in whole wheat bread? This is from Consumer Reports, which we're switching to now. In store brands we love in the January issue, there was no mention of sugar content in the whole wheat bread section. In my experience, bread of all kinds typically carries high level of sugar, and it is difficult to find whole wheat bread with less than 4 grams of sugar. Editor's note, we did address sugar contents in the article. None of the 7 breads we featured had more than 2 grams of added sugar per slice, the limit our nutritionists recommend. The lowest was Walmart Great Value 100% whole wheat bread. Ooh, I've got some of that. With less than 1 gram per slice. Aldi Love and Fresh 100% whole wheat bread. I've had some of that, too. Target Market Bianchi 100% whole wheat bread. And Trader Joe's whole wheat bread sliced all have 1 gram per slice. The January article, How to Age-Proof Your Home, is very valuable. One particular warning is key. Avoid tripping over an open dishwasher door. Having experienced several such actions, I think that appliance manufacturers should implement safety technology as automakers have. For example, why not have flashing lights at the outer corners of the doors? Editor's note, an open dishwasher can certainly pose a tripping hazard, and it's always best to close the door after loading or unloading. If you live with small children or their frequent visitors, add a child safety lock to the door to keep them from opening or standing on the door. And if you're in the market for a new one, avoid a model with a door that opens at the end of the cycle to aid drying. Thanks for the article in January issue, How to Age-Proof Your Home. I live alone in a multi-level home, and I recently broke my ankle. I was fortunate to be able to install a chairlift, which gave me full use of my bedroom, bath, and office, which are upstairs. It wasn't inexpensive, but not as bad as I thought. Clarification. Our January 2023 story on supplements featured photographs of CBD-infused gummy bears with the letter A on their bellies. Albany's Confectionery Group Incorporated, the maker of Gummy with Aona's Tummy, does not manufacture or sell CBD-infused gummy products. Whoops. What we're testing in our labs. I already have a stand mixer. Do I need a hand mixer too? That depends. If your stand mixer lives on your counter and use it a lot, you may not need a handheld mixer. But if you're short on counter space, hand mixer can be a convenient alternative. A great hand mixer can take a lot of the same jobs as a stand mixer, though they're especially good at lighter duty tasks like beating eggs or mixing pancake batter. Some hand mixers, like the Breville, which we'll talk about in a minute, above, are even powerful enough to make cookie dough. A hand mixer may also be a faster, easier to clean option when you only need to whip up a small bowl of something, or it could be a useful addition to your stand mixer that is already in use creating another recipe. Smart speakers with quality sound. We tested 43 models. We test for sound quality, including how a speaker compares with top-rated reference models in our lab, ease of use, and more. The median score was 50, or the range was 38 to 68. Nice price and works with Alexa. Amazon Echo Studio at 160, score to 68. Works with both Google and Alexa. Sonos Move at $400, score to 68 as well. Super easy to use and works with Alexa. The Bose Home Speaker, $500 at $380, it scored a 65. Hand mixers. We tested 10 models. We test for how fast a mixer can make whipped cream, how well it mixes cookie dough, its noise level, convenience and features, and more. Talks about the scores. Median 64, the range was 47 to 79. The first one got a 79. It's wonderful at whipping. It's a KitchenAid KM926 at $100, scored a 79. Terrific at mixing. The Breville Handy Mix Scraper, BMH800, $130, scored a 70. And the bargain buy is the Cuisinart Power Advantage HM50 at $40. It even scored a 64. Air fryers. We tested 56 models. How easy it is to use a fryer's controls to clean it, the noise level, and more. The median was 69. The range was 47 to 81. Scoring 81 was the small and best overall was the Dash Digital Tasty Crisp Air Fryer, 2.6 quart at $70. Sleek midsize fryer was the William Sonoma Open Kitchen Digital Fryer, 4.3 quart at $100. That scored a 77. An extra-large crowd pleaser, the Wolfgang Puck 9.7 quart stainless steel air fryer for $120, it scored a 76. Upright vacuums for $250 or less. We tested 29 models. We test for how well each model cleans carpets and bare floors, including picking up pet hair, how easy it is to push, pull, and carry the vacuum, and more. The median score was 62, the range was 40 to 75. Scoring a 74 was the strong suction bag, the Kenmore Pet Friendly 31140 at $250. The bagless bargain was the Shark Navigator Liftaway at $190. That scored a 72. Great on bare floors and for pet hair bagged. Hoover, it's a bagged cleaner. Hoover Wind Tunnel Max at $210 scored a 70. Laptops for $600 or less. We tested 40 models. We test for performance while running applications, games, and web browsing, quality of display, the machine's portability, battery life, and more. The median score was 58. The range was 33 to 72. Lots of memory and storage was the Lenovo IdeaPad 115, 512 gigabytes, 15.6-inch the model at $600, scored a 70. Travel-friendly touchscreen was the Microsoft Surface Laptop, also $600, 12.4-inch screen. It scored a 69. Most budget-conscious was the Acer Aspire 5A515, 128 gigabytes, 15.6-inch screen at $400. Side-by-side refrigerators. We tested 42 models. We test for thermostat control, temperature uniformity, energy efficiency, ease of use, including storage options, and more. The median score was 63. The range was 47 to 78. Convenient door-in-door design, and this actually has a clear door, it looks like. LG LRSD S27065, 36-inch at $2,000, scored a 76. Quiet and large freezer was the LG LSX 27066S, 36-inch at $1,800. It scored a 74. And top pick for small kitchens was the Amana AS1217, 33-inch at $1,350. Ask our experts. Which over-the-counter medicine is most effective for stopping a headache? Two of the most common over-the-counter drugs you can take if you suffer from occasional tension headaches are acetaminophen, usually known by the brand name Tylenol, or ibuprofen, sold under the brand names Advil and Motrin. While both will help ease a headache, a few studies show that ibuprofen may be more effective in treating tension-type headaches, says Laura Natboni, M.D., at the Icahn School of Medicine in Mount Sinai, New York. In one 1996 study, patients who took 400 milligrams of ibuprofen experienced more and quicker pain relief than those who took 1,000 milligrams of acetaminophen. And because it has an anti-inflammatory effect, ibuprofen may also be more effective for those experiencing neck pain. People who have cardiovascular disease may want to avoid ibuprofen because it can increase the risk of heart attack and stroke, especially when taken long-term. What risk is possibly somewhat lower with naproxen, known as the brand name Aleve, another anti-inflammatory drug that can provide relief for aches and pains. For all painkillers, it's important to follow the dosage limit on the label, because taking too much ibuprofen or naproxen put you at risk of gastrointestinal bleeding, and taking too much acetaminophen can put you at risk of liver damage. Aspirin, by the way, can also provide pain relief, but it's not considered as effective as acetaminophen and ibuprofen, and can cause gastrointestinal bleeding, even a low daily dosage. If you're unsure which pain relief medication is right for you, talk with your doctor. My garbage disposal smells bad. How can I clean it? Disposals can make food scraps disappear with the flick of a switch, but over time, food debris can build up inside and start to stink up your sink. If you use your disposal daily, we recommend cleaning it once a week with a few simple ingredients. Put a handful of ice, about 6 cubes, into the disposal and run it. This should help break up bits of food that may be stuck down there. Once the ice is gone, mix 1 teaspoon of bleach with 1 cup of water and pour it into the garbage disposal, says Lou Cuofo, who oversees CR's garbage disposal lab testing. Use a cap or cover over the opening to keep the bleach from splashing bucket pew, and then run it for a few seconds. If you still smell something, it's probably caused by food buildup on the splash guard, the black rubber panel that sits atop your sink's drain hole. You can scrub it with warm water and baking soda or toss it into the dishwasher. And to keep odors to a minimum in the future, always run the disposal with water before, during, and after grinding food. Use hot water when grinding foods with fats or oils, and cold for anything else. We suggest running the water for about 7 seconds after you hear the grinder stop to help it flush away any remaining particles. How can I keep my wipers from freezing to my windshield? Rubber wiper blades tend to freeze to the glass of your windshield when a car is parked outside in the cold. Hopefully we're through with that. The simplest fix on many vehicles, you can pull the wiper arms up and off the windshield and leave them that way, and it's especially important to do so when snow or freezing temperatures are expected. When you come back to your car, don't try to turn the wipers on before de-icing. Doing so can wear out the blades or even snap the wipers if they're stuck to the glass. If you usually leave your wipers on auto setting, turn the wipers to off when you park the car to prevent them from turning on automatically when you start the car later. And never use hot water to de-ice your windshield. The extreme temperature change can crack the glass. Instead, start your car and turn on the defroster with the fans on high speed to melt the exterior ice before using a plastic scraper. It's also a good idea to inspect your wipers regularly. They should be replaced about every 6 months. CR Money Saver. Should you buy now or pay later? Buy now, pay later services, which are short-term loans for goods, are exploding in popularity. In fact, 28% of Americans have paid for clothing, electronics, appliances, or other items this way, according to an August 2022 CR National Representative Survey of 6,539 U.S. adults. It's easy to see the attraction. Buy now, pay later services typically offer no-interest loans and sometimes charge zero fees, even on late payments. And shoppers find that getting approved for a loan can be fast and easy without the kind of hard check on their credit report that could lower their credit score. That means you could buy something pricey, a big screen TV or a couch, in installments without any interest or fees. Still, CR's August survey and other research do raise some red flags. For example, 28% of the people who have used a buy now pay later service report having at least one problem, including difficulty returning products or getting refunds. And complaints about these services to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, and Better Business Bureau have surged recently. If you're interested in a buy now, pay later offer, follow our expert's advice to steer clear of potential pitfalls. Always opt for auto pay. 11% of people in CR's August survey who used these services missed at least one payment because in some cases they lost track of payment due dates. The result can be late fees or added interest charges, and the missed payment could appear on your credit report. While some services may not charge late fees, including services like Affirm and PayPal, Pay in 4, and others do. Afterpay, for example, charges up to $8 and Zip charges up to $10. So take a close look at terms of agreement to avoid surprises, and always set up autopay to help you avoid confusion over when a payment is due. Try to make only one BNPL purchase at a time. If you take out a buy now, pay later loan, try not to be paying off more than one or two at a time, says CR's Chuck Bell, who focuses on consumer financial service regulations. CR's August survey found that people juggling four or more BNPL loans at once were twice as likely to have missed a payment. If you decide to make two BNPL purchases in the same time frame, it's wise to stick with a single provider, because multiple vendors are likely to have different payment deadlines and fees, which could become confusing. We also advise looking for a BNPL service that offers purchase protection. PayPal, for example, will reimburse you if certain items don't arrive or are different from what was described. Keep a close eye on returns. If the CFPB says that common consumer complaints is that if you return an item after making a few of the payments, refunds can take weeks or longer to obtain. It has also received reports of refunds that never arrive. If you do return an item you purchased using one of these services, check with the BNPL company as soon as you made the return to confirm your refund. If the refund hasn't been credited yet, ask whether you can have an extension on the loan payments that are still due to help ensure that the refund will be credited to your loan before the next payment due date and you won't be saddled with a late fee. If you need to miss a payment, negotiate. If you don't make a BNPL payment for any reason, even if you're waiting for a refund or a returned item, your credit score could still take a hit. CR's August survey found that those people who had at least one late payment, 15% revealed it was included on their credit report, and 21% sold their BNPL debt was turned over to a collection agency. Both can lower your credit score sometimes by a lot, Bell says. Notify the company if you can't pay on time. Before the payment is due, if possible, you may be able to get an extension. If that doesn't work, ask for a hardship repayment arrangement. And let's crank out with a couple of silly jokes. A musician hears of a loner who dies with no friends or next of kin. Touched, he decided to go to the funeral and play his bagpipes as a tribute. Lost on his way to the graveside, he finally arrives an hour late to find two men shoveling dirt back into a hole in the ground. The musician jumps out of his car, pulls on his bagpipes, and proceeds to play Amazing Grace. It's so beautiful that the two men stop shoveling to wipe away a few tears. That, says one of the others, the most fitting tribute I have ever witnessed to the installation of a septic tank. Workers' Day on April 25th. Make sure to take out a book and leave a gag. A woman walks into a library and asks if they have any books about paranoia. The librarian says they're right behind you. A man asks the librarian if she has any books on turtles. Hardback, asks the librarian. Yes, she says, and little heads. A drunk goes up to the desk and shouts, I'll have a burger, fries, and a milkshake. The librarian says, sir, this is a library. Sorry, he whispers, I'll have a burger, fries, and a milkshake. The amount of sleep required by the average person is 5 more minutes. Killing them with kindness is taking much longer than I expected. The plans for a paperless office really look good on paper. Knock, knock. Who's there? Grandma. Wait. Stop the funeral. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.